Hey, writer. Today I'm talking to Jonathan Gunson, a children's author from New Zealand who is sharing some of his engagement strategies for authors on Twitter. I'll be honest, I never saw it as a must-do social media platform, but after talking to Jonathan, I'm ready to give it a try and see how it goes. If you're short on listening time today, I've summarized his tips for you. Just head to lauriewriter.com/Twitter tips to get that PDF. And now, here's the show.
Welcome to the Writer's Way podcast, where we celebrate writers who have completed their books and inspire writers who haven't. Join Lori and her guests as they talk about writing, books, and life in between chapters.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to this episode of the Writer's Way podcast. Today, I get to talk to the fabulous Jonathan Gunson from around the world. You're a time traveler because it's tomorrow, I think, where you are.
It is.
Thank you for doing this with me.
It's a pleasure. I'm here in New Zealand in the South Pacific, down under, we say. You know, there's nothing is beneath me.
There you go. Is that good? That's bad, isn't it?
This is a good thing.
Why don't you tell us a bit about your background and your books and how you got started, and then we will go into our main topic, which today will be Twitter for authors.
Oh, yeah, I love Twitter. Well, me, I've been in publishing since about 1827. I've been in it for a long time. But I actually, because I live in New Zealand, the thing is, only about 5 million people live here. Mm-hmm. So, like a long time ago, there's no internet or anything. So how do you sell books? I mean, like, you can't make a living with a population that small. It's just the market isn't big enough. Uh-huh. So I just kind of stopped and started and did some books and got hold of the publishers, and they did publish them and distribute them, but I really couldn't get enough scale going to make a living. So I kind of dropped out of it. So I kind of flip-flopped between doing books and then working in corporations as an advertising director, and then back again and working in advertising agencies in the creative departments. All the while, I really just wanted to be chewing children's picture books, because my boys, you know, I'd done one for each of them, but they didn't sell too many. One of them, in the end, ended up selling about 50,000 copies, but that was over about a 10-year period here in Australia and the UK and a couple other places. It's really hard to do. Then along came the magic internet and the magic Amazon. I thought, I'm not going to do that corporate crap anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. So I jumped out of there and I started. This is really recent, like just 2 or 3 years ago. And so I'm never going to go back into those places again. It's like going down the mine. But anyway, that'll give you a rough idea. My brother, Tim, he lives south of here. And we made Peter Jackson made the Lord of the Rings movies here. And my brother Tim, he was in the movies. He's one of the hobbits.
For real? So,
And yeah, you put on all the whiskers and the big feet and everything else.
That's awesome.
It just looked hilarious. Yeah. Because everybody knows everybody in New Zealand. I mean, I had a brief word to Peter Jackson. And I did a really big book called The Merlin Mystery, and that sold about 400,000 copies. So that was when I managed to – I had to go all the way to the UK, travel, and sell it. And they gave me a huge advance of £100,000, because the work that I'd done – and the artist I worked with as well, both of us illustrate, was so detailed and complex and beautiful. They said, we don't want you to take this anywhere else. We're going to make this our book, HarperCollins. So that was just an incredible thing. So that gave me a big lift. And so from that point on, I knew it was possible to do things on a decent scale, you know, and that it really would work. It's partially a matter of confidence for people, you know, I'm going to do these books, or will they work? And everybody has that issue, thinking, I got this book, will anybody buy it? I'm sure everybody who's doing books feels that. Yeah. You know, is this really going to work? But you know, if they're any good and they're, your heart is in it, which is what I firmly believe, if you really like your book, you really, really, you've done it because you love it, it's going to work, because everything you say about it is going to show in your voice and your eyes and everything you write. It's going to sparkle. And people think, this must be good. So I think that's very important. So anyway, that's about me. Yeah, can't think of anything else right now.
So you hit the big time with the Merlin Mysteries, and then it reignited that I want to do kids' books.
Like, yeah, it still took a while again, though.
And it took a while?
Oh, yeah. It took a while to get back to it because, you know, over a 10-year period. But here I am. We finally got back to it. Yeah.
And the book is called?
Well, the book's called Goggles, The Bear Who Dreamed of Flying.
Okay. And we will link that book in the show notes because it's gorgeous. And since this is audio only, people can't see it. But you need to see it, people. It is gorgeous. Okay. So that's your background, Jonathan. And then how did you get... how did you become a tweeter?
I never thought I'd be interested in doing anything like chat on the internet, you know, talking to people.
Okay.
But, and then so you've got to join Twitter, Jonathan, because, you know, you can promote your books on there. So I started, and I was really excited because I got 17 people in a few days to follow me. I thought, that's fantastic. I felt really important, you know. All this feedback from 17 people, I don't know who the hell they were, but but anyway, now I have 134,000 people.
Whoa!
Yeah, that took a few years to build up, but a large tract of them are authors, mothers, parents, people interested in books, because there's probably a lot of, you know, weirdos and robots on there as well. I don't know, but the percentage of sort of rubbish followers is not very high. It's pretty good. No,
it's not like Instagram.
No, well, oh, probably. But I just weeded them all out as I went along and kicked people out and blocked people for years. So eventually ended up, people gave up trying to follow.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, they come from all over the world, these people. Large tracts of them in the United States followed me on Twitter. The key thing about Twitter, I guess I should sort of talk about it and how people can use it, how you can promote your books with it. The best ways of using it to greatest effect for the least amount of work and effort. Mm-hmm. My particular name is twitter.com/Jonathan Gunson.
Okay.
So then you can go and look and see what I've done. Now, right now, I'm not using it a vast amount. I'm just setting up to use it. Okay. So there's a few things on there related to picture books and so on. But I will be using it shortly. Now, here's the thing. Most people who sort of start in on social media they get it wrong. They do this one big thing wrong, and that is to constantly shout by my book. See, if you picture like a radio station, like you listen to a radio station and you've got this gorgeous content on there, like you might love classical music, so you're listening to that. Or you might like talkback of some kind, and so you're listening to the talkback, or it could be pop. Bruno Mars, you might like to listen to that. I love Bruno Mars, especially watching him. Oh, of course, everybody understands with the radio station, for it to stay on air, they have to run advertising. So I promise I'll get back to Twitter, but this is directly related to it.
Okay.
If people will run advertising on those stations, and you don't mind, you're driving along in your car, and there comes an ad. You go, it's an ad. So sometimes you'll listen to it, sometimes you won't. And then the program comes back. But if that radio station ran ads nonstop and nothing else, you'd pretty quickly tune out. You'd stop listening. But on Twitter, for example, or Facebook, or Instagram, or Pinterest, or LinkedIn, or any of the social media platforms, if you just stick your stuff up there, say, buy this, available now, you know, people would very quickly tune out, switch off, just like a radio station. Mm-hmm. So the key is to get into conversation, put up interesting stuff. Whatever it is, quotes, tips, tricks, links to really other interesting things that you've found. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. Mm-hmm. And here and there, once you've built the audience, they get to find that you are interesting. Then you can say, and actually, I'm doing something secret. Like tomorrow, I'm going to release my new book, but I'm not going to tell you today. I'm going to tell you tomorrow. And then you put it up on Twitter the following day. Here's my book. I told you I'd release it. Here's a picture of the cover. By that time, people are very interested. So, I mean, that's what you do on Twitter. That's the content strategy. The thing is to ask people questions. That's the third thing.
Yeah.
You can find people so easily on Twitter. And some of these people are very high profile. But if you ask them a question in which they would be interested, that would appeal to them, most of the time they'll answer, as long as they're not just swamped.
Yes.
You know? I mean, I try and talk to Leonardo DiCaprio. You might have a bit of a problem because he's just swamped, you know. But he might. I send a tweet to William Shatner, right? And he replied, "Hey, Jonathan, in the South Pacific, how are you? Yeah, hey, I'm doing a new show soon. like this? He replied. And he replied more than once. He was amazing, like that, William Shatner. So I thought, I said, guess what? William Shatner said hi.
Oh, yeah, that's huge in my world.
Yeah, well, people will talk to you on Twitter.
No, fine, they talk to you more on Twitter than they would, like, if you found William on Facebook.
No.
Or Instagram. No. So you feel like they're more accessible on Twitter?
It's an immediate conversation on Twitter.
Yeah.
Very immediate, or can be, if they're there. Because you only have to type this limited amount of stuff on Facebook. It's kind of like you're in a comments area under a post, etc.
Yeah.
Because Twitter's right out front. Person to person is Twitter.
Okay.
It's not person to corporation. What Twitter is not is a broadcast media. People like to think, I've got all those followers, Jonathan. You must stick stuff up all the time and broadcast to all these people. No, I do not. I just talk to people and have conversations if I can. And now, how do you get a conversation going? You put something up there intriguing and people will make a comment. You say, yeah, I agree. And a tweet ended that and they say, yeah. And I found another example, and it goes on. And sometimes you get this great big string of tweets with people passing it to and fro. That's what you want, because what happens is other people see that and they begin to join the conversation. So you're becoming known just by having a conversation that can go a little bit viral. This is not very specific, but these are the sorts of best things to do. One of the things I put up on Twitter a lot was, this is a bit corny. It's almost hokey, but I made these really nice motivational quotes with a picture that fit the Twitter space perfectly. And I put up two or three of those a day, and every single day. And I put them on an automated system, buffer.com.
Okay.
And there's another one called hootsuite.com. Yep. And they will send them out automatically. Now, what I did was, in the end, I made nearly 100 of these quotes, and I put them up in Hootsuite, and they will send them out about once an hour, or once a day, or once every minute, depends what you do. About every 2 or 3 hours is best. Otherwise, you just annoy people.
Okay.
But every 2 or 3 hours. And so you put those out, and they will send them out. Even when you're asleep, those are going out. And the amount of attention you get at that is all out of proportion to the work you do. People commenting them, seeing them, recycling them, passing them on, and you're not doing anything at all. So when you go live on Twitter, in between times, you can see your quotes have gone out. You start saying other things like, start to ask someone a question, make a statement about some interesting thing. Like, Margaret Atwood just released her new book. This is, I don't read Margaret Atwood, but I know she did, and I know she's important, so I thought I'd better say so. Yeah, you say something. It doesn't matter as long as the communication's there. And right across the top of Twitter, you can put anything you like, your books, a picture of you, great big advertisement for your latest book is probably the best thing. You can change it anytime you like. You can just stick your name right across the top. And, of course, it works perfectly on a smartphone or right across an iPad or even bigger on a laptop. So Twitter's always been a very good medium. Now, what I also did was I built a list, an email list, of about 7,000 people, which is a good list, email list, simply by putting tweets up there. And I rotated this twice a day with – 3 times a day, that's right. I had 3 different pictures from my picture book, Mr. Smudge's Thirsty Day. Oh. And it's a lovely little picture book. Oh, by the way, if anybody wants that, you can go and get it. It's at freebook.fun. Freebook.fun. And if you go there, you'll see Mr. Smudge looking at you, waiting for you to download him. He's a Siamese cat. He was the family cat, and I made a picture book about him. But it's free. But anyway, I will put...
Sorry. Interrupted you. I was going to ask, how long did you do that for to get the 7,000 subscribers?
About 18 months.
Oh, okay. Long haul.
Took about that long. The second time I did it, I got more efficient, and it took about 6 months to add another 7,000. Wow. So, yeah, it's just the more people you have on there, of course, the more followers you have, the more effective it's going to be. So I was cycling an ad which says, free download, Mr. Smudge's Thirsty Day. Mr. Smudge is waiting to talk to you. Mr. Smudge wants to give you to give him a drink. I'd say all these interesting, quirky things that a cat might say. You can go and get him here. Yeah, so people click on it because it takes them straight over to the opt-in page. Mm-hmm. Now, How do you get all those followers? Mm-hmm. Well, that is not very difficult. If you follow someone, about one in three, something like that, will follow you back.
They will. Okay.
So you go and find people. Now, I actually went around finding authors mostly.
Yeah.
On Twitter, because they all buy books. We all buy books. So they're actually a really good bunch of people to follow. And they're generally all women mothers, the authors, for picture books, I mean.
Yeah.
And the buyers, of course, are moms. And so I went looking for moms who write picture books or just picture book writers or authors, even other authors who would write thrillers and everything. All of those kinds of people. Now, how do you find them? Well, there's a number of hashtags that you can type into the little search box at the top that says hashtag kidlit, hashtag am writing, hashtag author, hashtag picture book. You know, there's a number of them. There's quite a number of them. But once you start go and search people with those, you'll find they use other hashtags as well, which they use in their tweets, which you can note down to find even more people. And all of the people you come across there will be exactly the right kind of people. And you just go and follow them. Within a day or two, they'll follow you back, mostly. So slowly but surely, the numbers increase. Now, when you get up to, say, the magical number of 1,000 followers,
uh-huh.
Twitter will say, yeah, that's good. Because normally what happens, if you try and follow too many people, they shut you down. I don't mean they shut your account. They just block it. They say, right, that's all you can follow today. Sorry, a little notice comes up.
Okay.
And it's not many to start with. But the more people you have, the more you can follow.
Okay.
It increases.
Okay.
So I can follow a very large number of people each day now if I want to. But I get kind of picky, you know. I just don't follow idiots or anybody. I just very careful and choose all these people. You'll find on a Twitter account that all sorts of strange people follow you. And you can tell when they're just robots because it's got a name like George27RP2T this. And it says, hi, I'm George. I love Christian, you know, or something bad English with no picture, you know. So you go, I'll just block that person.
You just block them right away.
Yeah. Now, here's a trick. Here's the thing. Okay. If you want to block someone, but you don't want to offend them because you'll see they have blocked you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some person who's actually someone you know, you really just don't want this idiot following you because they're a nuisance. It might be a mother-in-law. I don't know. My mother-in-law was a nice person. So she followed me and I didn't block her. But what you do is this. You block the person and then you unblock them. And Twitter has removed them from following you, but they can't see it. They never know. What happens is they no longer see your tweets in their timeline, but they never knew that you blocked and unblocked them. You're just basically causing them to unfollow you.
But they won't know.
By doing that. So that's a trick. Yeah. So anyway, there's hashtags. Now, you can actually, one really fantastic thing to do is if you tweet something out that's really interesting and a lot of people retweet it, that means it goes out further and further and further. One of the tweets I did, 6 or 7 years ago, was retweeted 100,000 times. Somebody got hold of it, some celebrity got hold of it and sent it out. It was recycled far and wide. And I gained about 1,000 followers in a day who came along as a result. So if you do get a tweet that's worked really well like that, then you will get them. You tweet something out and somebody will get, actually, that's great. You've said even something about your book that's funny with a little picture from it. Because in the picture book business, we're just sitting in the perfect place to put pictures on Twitter. Just pull something out of your book and put it up there and write something underneath it. If you do have a successful one, you can actually then retweet your own tweet. You can tweet it again. You go down the bottom and click the little thing that says retweet. And it puts it right back up the top again. And then more people will follow it and more people will cycle it. Then a week later, retweet it again. And what's happening is underneath it, the number of times it's being seen goes, you can see the number going up and up and up. People think, look at that number, go, oh, that must be important. I'll retweet that. And you just keep on going up and up and up. So that's retweets.
Awesome. So it just increases the social proof.
It does. It does. Yes, that's it exactly.
Do pictures work better than Like, do you recommend to put a picture or an image in your tweet?
Well, you can't do that all the time. Otherwise, you just end up exhausted having to constantly come up with pictures.
Yes.
You can say quite pithy little things.
Okay.
You know, one line, not much. And they're fantastic as well.
If you're clever.
Yeah, you just say something. You can kind of steal it from somewhere else. But one of the wonderful things to do is choose a topic or something that's happening at the moment. And the only tiresome thing I see on Twitter is that people who don't like Donald Trump, it doesn't matter what you put up there, they'll bend it to say something negative about him, even though it's got nothing to do with him. I'm just using him as an example. You know, mind you, he's probably one of the most successful people on Twitter. I've had a look at what he does. And he just says these things up there, whether they make any sense or not, doesn't really matter, because he tacks a word on the end of it. He says, sad. Or the so-and-so did this. Awful, awful decision. You know, he's really brilliant. They come out with these crisp little statements and tacks an emotional word on the end. Silly thing to do, or very successful, or I'm so proud, or whatever. But it's very emotionally striking, you see. So he's got it sussed. I'm not suggesting go follow Donald Trump and get into a discussion with him. Because a lot of people, half of the population, won't like you anymore. But it's just an example.
Yeah.
Now, the main thing is, on Twitter, it's all about the relationships you build and having a conversation with people. Because it's just like on Facebook, you get to know people that you would never have possibly known otherwise.
Yeah.
But the thing about Twitter is it happens a lot faster, a lot more quickly, like really quick. You can contact someone who you hope will talk to you. They generally will, if they're just in a position of influence, but they're not necessarily famous. They're just very influential. Like, who's that? Ariana Huffman, the HuffPo owner. Yeah, the Huffington Post.
Oh,
the Huffington Post. Ariana Huffington.
Huffington, yeah.
Yeah, it took me a while to put that together.
I thought you were back to talking about Ariana Grande, so I was like...
Oh, no. No, I'm not going to talk to her. I'm not interested in her. I'm more important than she is.
I agree. So
anyway,
much like all the other social media platforms, what we're all coming to realize is it's not screaming about your product or your service. It's about making relationships, just having conversations.
Yeah, and if you do that, they will spread the word for you.
But it sounds like it's very fast moving.
It is. The thing is, if you put a tweet up there, it's like a leaf in a stream. It just drifts away really quickly, never to be seen again. You know, so you got to keep making statements and asking questions and interacting. I wouldn't suggest spending more than, you know, 15, 20 minutes a day interacting on Twitter, though. One of the other big tips, if another author or writer or anybody you admire or looks at, put something up on Twitter, and they say they're very proud of it, or they you know that they want people to see it, immediately comment on it. They will reply. They love to. Oh, they're waiting to say, oh, look, it took me a year. Yeah, hey, listen, and they'll go on about it. You say, God, that must have been a bit of a strain. But do you have any family time? They say, well, that did suffer a bit, you know. And you suddenly, within minutes, formed a relationship, and they will remember you. And you do that a few times with lots of people. And you get to know some really useful people. So later on, like, for example, book reviewers, you can find them on Twitter.
Oh.
And so you contact about 10 to 15 book reviewers and start doing exactly that with them. What are they saying? Do not ask them to review your book.
Right.
Just say, look, that book you recommended yesterday, I got it. It's just beautiful. I love it. I don't know why the author uses a pseudonym or a name like that. It's nuts. But hey, the book is glorious. Thank you for revealing it. I'm very pleased. They say, glad my recommendation worked. Yeah. Do that a few times. They will remember you. And so once you build up a little relationship with them, at some point, some months down the track, not 2 hours down the track, you can say, look, I've got my own book coming out. Not would you review it. I'm just going to send you it because I know you're going to like it. Because remember we said about so-and-so, you like that? It's a bit like that. I'll send it to you and see if you like it. You can tell me. They are hard to review at that point. And they say, actually, this is really good. I might review it. Say, oh, that'd be great. So it's a kind of stepped process. If I can go to this famous stepped process for contacting people and getting them to do things to help you, it goes like this. You know, I used the radio station allegory before. There's another one, and that's the ship, the great big cruise liner. And it's coming into the harbor, and the big crowd waiting on the dock, and people are cheering on the ship, waving to their friends because they're arriving, and to make the big announcement, toots, you know, and the ship pulls alongside. Now, how the heck do they moor that ship? How are they going to tie it to the dock? Well, they open a big docking door at the front of the ship and the back on the side of the ship. And they open this door, and at the front, the guy's holding a line with a big weight about the size of a baseball on it, with a thin line attached to it. He swings it round and round and round and round and hurls it, and it goes across from the ship and lands on the dock. And the dockers waiting there grab it. They pick it up and pull it in. That thin little line is attached to a line that's about as at least as thick as your thumb, much thicker. And they haul that in, and that's attached to the hawser, which is as thick as your arm. And that you pull that in, and that's the thing they put around the big steel bollard on the edge of the dock. And on the ship, they then turn the winch on, and it pulls it tight. They do that at both ends of the ship, and it's docked. Now, the thing is, if you want to get someone's attention, you don't go straight to try and moor the ship with a big hawser. You just throw something out there, very light to begin with. And then when the person's got a little bit closer, then you give them a little bit more substantial. Mm-hmm. You know? And then once they're right on board, then you can ask them, say, for example, to buy something. It's the same step, step, step. Give, 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 ask every single time. So I come back to it, you know. Don't shout, buy my book out front. Just get some to know somebody first. I got this comical example of walking into a cocktail party. You know, you've got your book and you see this group of people talking. You hear them talking about something really interesting. So you walk straight in and say, hi, buy my book. Stick it in everybody's faces. And they will just move quietly away from you.
And avoid eye contact for the rest of the
day. Whereas if you went in there and they say, what do? They say, I write picture books. They'll all turn it. You're an author? Yeah. What have you written? Where can I find it? Well, I mean, I don't mean to be a sales guy, but I actually brought one along. Say, oh, here it is. Hey. And then you step by step by step introduce the subject. And instead of, they say, well, where can we get it? I say, well, if you really want to buy it, you can go here. See on the book there, it's got Amazon.com. You can go and get it there. That'd be great. Here, I'll give you one of these little cards with the address on it. There you go. And suddenly you've got six people who are going to look for it. But that, you didn't shout it out up front. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go on and on and on about not hitting people in the face with please buy my book.
And that's great. And that's great advice for everywhere, for real life cocktail parties, for Facebook, for all of the social media platforms.
Oh yeah, social media. Yeah. Give out first for quite a long time. I see it in the Facebook group New Arrivals. The first thing they do, I'm so pleased, my book is out. Amazon, please click here. And if it's the very first time they arrive, you go, okay, well they hadn't realized that's not what you're supposed to do. So that's all right. They don't kick them out. But after a little bit, they do it more than once or twice. You're out.
I feel like if you have the etiquette in real life, like nobody would really go to a party and do that. Why doesn't it transfer over to social media? But just so often it doesn't.
You know why? Because people in, like every day, you've got the radio on in the background. If you say, for example, you're a builder, the builders and construction guys always have radios on in the background.
Yeah.
Because they're not using their minds. And so they need something to fill that space. So they have the radio on and it works beautifully. The pop music, the chat show. It keeps you occupied while you're using your hands doing something complex. That is something that people listen to all day, and they hear advertisements, advertising stuff. So they just view social media. Oh, that must be the same thing. Oh, well, I'll just stick my stuff there and say, buy now. And that's simply because people are not educated in marketing. They just think that's what you do. And well, you kind of can, but you can. And you can put it everywhere. Join 15 different Facebook groups, Pinterest, all these different things, and put stuff everywhere all the time. And it will actually work to a certain extent, but nothing like what it would work if you built some relationships instead and got it out there. I mean, I was absolutely staggered yesterday. I put up Goggles, the bear who dreamed of flying. I put the cover up for the first time and said, hey, listen, it's live. I used this tactic. I said, if you want me to notify you when it's going to be free, put me underneath. Well, 300 people later, I was trying to answer every single one because I think it's really important that somebody's gone to the trouble to say, me, I'd yeah. like to get a free copy. I got to reply to them. I'm not just going to let them all string out there and say, ah, suckers, you know, you can just stick your name there. No, they yeah. deserve some sort of reply. Seriously, yeah. each and every single person, I look at them and go, ah, and they say, I'm going to read this to my granddaughter. I say, ah, oh, I wish I could do that. I'm just a bit far away. You know, but yeah. and people absolutely love it. Now, I've been doing that for a year, interacting with people on that platform.
You have.
Giving out like that. And I think that's why suddenly 300 people came back. I'm not trying to be egotistical. I'm just saying, giving you an example, it just plain works.
It absolutely does. Yeah, people know your name and not as an advertiser and not as somebody who's pushy. They know your name as an encourager, a motivator, somebody who gives great feedback. You are, yeah, very active in there and not in a bad way, right?
Right, right. But it's all there for promotional reasons, but it's also something else which is quite genuine, and that is community, because community is incredibly supportive. It's very valuable. That particular group's very valuable community because you can actually ask for feedback. You can put things up there with absolutely no expectations of getting anything back useful, and yeah. people do. It's just a community. So that's almost family. That is incredibly yeah. important.
That's one of the best Facebook groups I'm in for sure. There's a lot of not great ones. that one is a great community, and you're a big part of that. So thank you.
Oh, well, it's a good thing. I mean, I see what you do with your books. Really interesting thing I learned. I'm not talking about, I think I covered Twitter. I mean, you know, do automate tweets. And if you're looking for people, go and use hashtags.
Okay.
If you want to build your list, follow people and they will follow you back. Use pictures. Contact big influencers or people who aren't necessarily in the media, but who are important, because those people they don't get a lot of communications. But they're important. You can talk to them and they will reply.
Like what kind of people?
Heads of corporations that are publishers or something. You know, they might, or PR people. Hardly, you know, people don't, public relations people, or radio station announcers, or television announcers.
Okay.
People don't really talk to them that much. And so I saw your program last night. Ah, you aced it. That guy you're talking to, you left him in the dust. I say, oh, yeah, it was a bit embarrassing. I say, no, that's another relationship you're building. People who are high profile, but don't necessarily get the massive communications that a rock star will, you know.
Yeah.
Like Beyonce, I don't think I'll try and contact her because she's kind of like a bit busy.
Maybe a bit. Maybe just a bit.
Yeah.
You are a really natural extrovert and really good at conversation.
I tell you what, the weird thing is, I've always seen myself as this sort of real extrovert, go out there, mix it up. When I go to a party, I'm the guy who breaks the ice, always.
Yeah.
Always pull people together, break the ice, crack the jokes.
Yeah.
After 5 minutes, nobody's talking to me. I've done my job. Now, it used to upset me that for a while. I suddenly realized it just wasn't a problem because I'd done what I needed to do. But after about 15, 20 minutes, then people would start to talk to me again, you know.
Yeah.
But I put all these people together. Now, when there's an author, her name is Joanna Penn. Now, yeah. Joanna is the creativepenn.com. Yes. I've known Joanna for a decade. And we swapped.
What? You have a famous brother and you know Joanna Penn.
Joanna Penn doesn't ever come across. You'd never pick ego there as famous or anything. She's just a thoroughly nice person.
I was just listening to her today in the car.
Oh, were you?
I love her podcast and I love everything.
Oh, she laughs and giggles and jokes all the way through it.
Yeah.
Well, Joanna, she's lived in New Zealand for a long time for a while. Uh-huh. And so when she comes here, we go and have a Starbucks down at the waterfront. We go and sit by the beach and have a coffee and we chat. You see, she says, I ask her what she's doing. She asks me what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I was ahead of her for a long time. Now she's way ahead of me because I went out of the business for such a long time. But she said, you know something? I said, yeah, I'm an extrovert. She said, no, you're not. You're an introvert. You're a really introverted person. It's just that you could put on this mask and be out there and loud. What would you rather be doing each day? I said, I'd rather be in my house having a coffee behind a closed door, just tinkering around with my pictures. She said, yeah, that's really you. You can do this thing.
Yeah.
So I don't quite know why we're talking about me. This is like really boring.
No, it's not. I wanted to bring it up because you sound, you know, I'm in a Facebook group with you, so I know how active you are. You're much more active than I am. And when you're talking about Twitter and connecting with people, you're saying 15 minutes a day or less. But I know, and I'm a very serious introvert. So I know that people listening will think, yeah, but he is different than I am, and he can do it because he's like that. So that's why I brought it up, because I feel like
it's people not
true. Will worry that it's not for them, that they won't be able to do it because they're not like you. They're not the conversation starters. It's harder to start this conversation.
Yeah. Look, you can actually do it because you're not meeting people face to face. You're just literally putting stuff out there, and like at arm's length with Twitter. It's over there. You can put stuff on it. I am not an extrovert. I had to fight my way into this and just do stuff. And I found that people didn't hit me when I did that. They didn't shout at me. I didn't get embarrassed. You say you're an introvert. You don't come across that way either, you see. So I am actually an introvert. I don't really like being out there at all. But I just go out there carefully. And like if I go for a walk at night to get some exercise, I'll go at night so I don't have to see anybody. I don't want to bump into people. I don't want to run into them. Or I've discovered, my son James says to me, hey, you know what you could do instead? You can listen to podcasts, put headphones on and wear sunglasses. And they can't tell if you're looking at them, and they definitely can't, you can't hear them. So that'll give you a clue. But honestly, anybody can do this on Twitter. Okay. I might come across that way, but I can. If I can, you can. Seriously. Okay. So, yeah. And as far as types of books goes, the one thing I have learned is this, is not to be too judgmental about people's books, because people put up this rubbishy looking book and you think, that's not very good. And they actually have quite a good story. Yeah. But guess what happens? They put it up on Amazon. It goes crazy and sells tons and tons of copies. So I'm never judgmental, because the most simple things can work, and they can work really well. So I no longer say, oh, God, you've got to have beautiful illustrations like we use for goggles, which took us, you know, like 4 centuries to do each one. But it's just not necessary. So people ask, well, how much does an illustration cost? Well, that depends. If you do an illustration like the ones we do in goggles, or Brandon Walden Seeds and Trees, that's going to cost you about $15,000, $20,000 for the book. If you do something like Laurie Wright's books, which are very simple, if highly effective pictures that convey an idea in an instant, I can handle it, because there's a little boy on the cover, it's just done with careful line work. But the person who drew that is an experienced artist, a professional. You can tell by the quality of the line work. It doesn't take them long, but they do it. So they're just as effective as a complex illustration. So it just depends what you're trying to achieve. You know, if you want to write a fantasy book that's with a rich tapestry of story and lots of interesting, faraway, exotic places, well, you're going to need some pretty fantastic illustration. But if you've just got a simple message to put across, you don't need a lot. Now, 2 kinds of books. One is the storybook, a lovely, rich storybook. And then the other one is the message book, which says, like Jay Maletsky makes jokes about these. He says, oh, Barry the Bully learns to be nice. I always want those sorts of in-your-face type titles. Don't work. You know, like, look, let's go for diversity. Well, yeah, sure, but don't stick that in the title. Just show it in the story. Message books do work in your face.
Yes.
You know, like, they do. They just like, I can handle it. Those are message books. But the way they're done is they're deliberately like that, and all very cheerful and very clear. So all of your books work like a charm. And they're not sort of obnoxious titles. They're just sweet, helpful titles, you know, and they don't say, they're not wagging the finger at anybody. Mm-hmm. But for me, I like to write stories. I won't do that. I like to weave the message through a story if I have one to say. So mm-hmm. I won't come out front and say it in the title. But kids will pick it up on the way through, because then they want to read the story, and they'll take it in the bed at night with a flashlight, and they'll sneak reading because they can't get enough of it. Now, that's what you want. I mean, I believe that the imagination is the greatest gift we have. If we can encourage that in our children, they kind of, once it's expanded, it never goes back. It stays expanded. And they begin to see all the possibilities of the world, you know, and then later on they can solve problems and see the way through things and make decisions and come up with fantastic ideas. That's the power of that. That's why I'm so enthusiastic about children's books and reading, getting them reading. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm so interested in story and fantastic storyline. Yeah.
the world with our books, right? Help children and change it. Yes. Thank you so much for sharing all of your information. What's your website? I don't think we said that.
You can see my website. It's live. Yeah. It is jonathangunson.com.
Oh, perfect. Okay. So we will include all of that information in the show notes for people. You had tons to share. Thank you so much for joining me from around the world.
I'm really glad to have done this. It's such a treat. I love talking on a podcast and audio because nobody can see me.
You don't even have to wear pants.
I like it. All right. Well, thank you very much, Laurie. It's a great pleasure to be on your podcast. It's a wonderful podcast.
Thank you.
You have wonderful books. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I can't wait to get yours.
All right.
Okay. Bye.
Bye for now. Bye bye.
Thanks for listening today, writers. What do you think? Will you be giving Twitter a try? Are you already using Twitter with great success? Either way, look me up. I'm still learning. I'm on there as Laurie Writer. So I've summarized the strategies Jonathan talked about. And if you'd like to download those, just go to lauriewriter.com/Twitter tips. And thank you all for subscribing to the podcast to stay in the loop. Talk to you next week here on the Writer's Way podcast.
You've been listening to the Writer's Way podcast. For show notes, links to guests' information, and to learn more about the Writer's Way, check out lauriewriter.com. Until next week, enjoy this chapter of your life.